This is a previously recorded episode of The Undercard, Hand Combat Radio. This show is broadcasting live from Detroit Sound Studios above Activate Gaming and is part of the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Coming to you from the Detroit Sound Studios above Activate Gaming, it's The Undercard, bringing you the best in hand combat coverage with feature interviews, major events, and the hottest ring girls from around the nation. The Undercard is part of the Podcast Detroit Network. And now, here they are, always in your corner, Brad, Marv, and Jimmy.
Welcome to The Undercard. It's officially episode 156. We are midsummer in September as it gets toasty out there again.
I hate it.
It's a little warm.
We got teased with great cool weather, and then we're going to crank the heat up on you guys. Hey, fat guys.
It was so nice the other night, and it was so cool that nice crisp autumn weather that I laid down on my couch just watching TV. I'm like, I'm just going to sit down for a minute. Next thing I know, it's the next morning.
Yeah,
slept so well.
Mm-hmm. Love it.
I love it.
Yeah. I did the same thing, but I woke up in a neighbor's house. It's weird, but.
Did you at least make him breakfast?
Well, of course. I'm not an animal.
Yeah, don't be rude like that. We got a pretty good show. We're going to start off talking the Mayweather fight. We can't not talk the Mayweather fight. Right. And then something happened in UFC.
Did it? I mean, I've seen all the chat rooms and the blog posts. I have no idea what you could be talking about, Brad.
Apparently marijuana gets you a 5-year suspension, and we'll talk about that. So we'll segue over to that. And then
marijuana just got high.
I was there for the beginning of the fights, and they were absolutely awesome. Thank you so much, Joseph Pataglia.
Yes.
We're talking TXC, and Liz and Jimmy were there the whole night.
Yep.
As you remember, last week we had Mo and Connor going at it back and forth. You'll tell everybody the results of that if they haven't seen it yet. You know what the coolest thing he did is that pay-per-view is free, and it streamed amazing on the phone and everything like that. It was just a great event, so he did an absolutely fantastic
job. He always does. So well,
We're going to comment on Facebook finally having a dislike button, so we're scared to see what Team Undercard.
Almost. Yes. Yeah, they're working.
Scared
on
to
it.
See what Team Undercard is going to give us with that, you know, like,
oh, it's
dislike, dislike.
Just dislike.
Marv, dislike.
I don't understand, and we talked about this a bit before the show. They're working on a dislike button. Now, I don't pretend to be a computer programmer, but I know a thing or two. I don't understand how you can't copy the code from like, paste it over here.
Should be simple.
Put dis in front of it. Voila, dislike button.
Because didn't you see the movie? And I love the movie too. Social Network.
Yes.
When they're working on code, simple code, they're there forever. They're
I know. I've done some coding, but like you just copy and something like that. You just copy.
Marv's not wrong. It's a very simple code addition to what's already in the code.
Okay. Yeah.
But I don't know. Maybe they're trying to like limit it so that like you can't dislike like sponsored posts or something like that. I don't know.
Then we have I call him the love guru over here, Greg.
The love
and
doctor.
I will
hey, what's
not,
up, everybody?
I will not attempt to butcher your last name.
No,
give it to me here.
It's Greg Dzinski, or AKA Master G, and that's a long story.
Master G, I like Master G.
That was
like the Unabomber.
No. It was coined by me. I did a
Wasn't it Ted?
Cousins. No. Okay. I work with whack people, but no. As a regular
Well, with
kid,
a last name like that, you probably get free beer all the time in Hamtramck.
You know why? I come here to the studio and get free beer.
Yeah, he's got a point. Yeah, he's got a point. Actually, why don't I have a beer, Liz? Beer's for everybody.
None for me.
Let's
none
get on that.
No, the beer tap is not working. It's off limits.
Well, go into the fridge and get bottles then.
Wait a minute. I thought it's Dave working. Said,
it is working. Yeah, it is working.
The beer tap is not working.
Yeah. He posted the other day that he fixed it.
Oh, that's right.
No, it broke again.
Oh, it broke again? Oh, okay.
Who keeps breaking the beer tap?
It's working now.
Okay, it is?
Yeah.
I'm so confused.
A couple days ago it was fixed.
It stopped leaking.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You're the one that said that, Brad.
I'm scared.
Brad walks in the room like five minutes ago and was like, hey, stop leaking. Let Dave know.
I guess I'm scared that if we pull on the tap again, that the beer won't stop again and cause a
mess. What's wrong with that?
Well, I don't know.
We have to pull a Barney from The Simpsons, just lay under it.
Well, there you go.
Oh, my heart stopped. Oh, there it goes.
So Greg is going to introduce us to his new book. Besides that, he's going to give some relationship background and also talk some relationship stuff. So that should be fun. So stick around to the end of the show. If you're listening on podcasts, it'll be a little later in the show. So welcome to Podcast Detroit. If you're new to the Undercard, which I know we have some new people occasionally here and there, we greatly appreciate. We try to have fun with the subjects of MMA boxing, and then we also mix in some pop culture and topics of what's going on.
And if you're new, I apologize ahead of time.
Exactly.
And we also apologize ahead of time.
Give us a couple weeks of listening, and I guarantee you you'll get hooked,
Yeah.
Don't just, make your impression on one. But we got to start off with Floyd Mayweather. Jimmy, I don't know if you caught this because it wasn't really too much in the news.
He's leaving.
He is leaving at 49-0.
Oh.
Nah, nah, nah.
He was like the last working douchebag in the world. Now they're finally all hung up.
No, we've got one running for president.
Oh. Which one? Well, I meant like actual douchebags.
Which one?
Yeah, there's a lot of them.
Well, you got to narrow it down.
Well, the one
just...
I saw in the debate last night. So.
Which one?
There was a debate last night? Which? Yeah,
there,
like,
there was not a debate. It was a stump speech.
What? Are we talking about Trump? Who are we talking about?
Mayweather. We're talking about Mayweather.
No.
No, you said presidential, somebody running for president.
Well, is Mayweather running for president? Yeah, did he throw his hand in the ring? I mean,
okay, you're talking about Trump. Yes, yeah. Giant douchebag. Okay. Did you guys see, though, that Arnold Schwarzenegger is taking over Celebrity Apprentice?
Yes.
No. Yes. Absolutely.
You're fired.
You're terminated.
Oh, yeah.
That's probably going to be
terminated.
You won't be back.
And write the check.
That's the one. That's the winner right there. You won't be back. That's it. Winner.
Whenever the
copyright Marvin Anderson. I'm totally taking that.
Whenever the Trump chopper comes down and they're all going somewhere, get through the chopper.
Run. Go.
Go.
Liz is trying not to laugh.
Right now,
listen to me, Hagen.
Run to the helicopter.
Right now,
no.
Liz is going. Who's Arnold Schwarzenegger?
I know who Arnold is. I know.
But we gotta start off with Mayweather here.
I have to ask you a question, Liz. What does your daddy and what does he do?
She's like, just knock
wow,
it off.
Kindergarten
ass.
Cop. Another movie you're going
to
have
to see.
It's not a tumor.
It's not a tumor.
Okay.
Can we proceed with Mayweather?
Yeah.
Right. Try
to get this back on the rails. Go ahead. Go for it, Brad.
All right. So let's talk Floyd Mayweather.
No! All right, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, it's all right.
Go ahead.
So we're going to start off by saying that Floyd Mayweather basically came in at the best time for boxing. Boxing was hitting a low moment, and they needed somebody like Floyd Mayweather. Floyd Mayweather has done a lot. I mean, his paydays are absolutely ridiculous. It's given boxing a lot of credibility because of the numbers it generates. He has absolutely been fantastic for the sport. But going into the 49th fight, you've sensed that maybe people were getting a little bit tired of it. And then watching the fight, the 49th fight against Andre Berto, I realized that it could not be a better time for Floyd Mayweather to leave the sport now.
Yeah.
It seems like as well as he does his defensive craft, that was a terrible fight versus Berto. And I like boxing. It was tough for me to watch.
Brad, as a boxing person,
yeah,
describe for me the fine line between defensive boxing and running away from your opponent.
Well, he fights a lot in the pocket, and a lot of people don't see that. But then when he has leads, he typically was showboating versus the Berto fight. He does get away from it a little bit. What I do think is that he found a way to win, not get hit. He's going to leave the game with his mental capabilities.
What little ones he had.
And he's going to be very rich, hopefully, for the rest of his life if he doesn't buy something stupid.
Well, and that brings up the question, because this is not the first time that Mayweather has retired. Correct. He came out of retirement after, who did he fight?
That he lady. Fought,
his wife, his ex-wife?
No, no, no.
The Big Show?
Yeah.
No.
Was he retired when he did wrestling?
I can't remember.
I don't remember. But anyways, he retired. He came out of retirement again and fought, how many fights?
He used to fight just once a year.
Right. What I'm saying is, how many fights did he have after he came back from quote-unquote retirement?
I'd have to go on Boxer.
Yeah. But anyways, so he retired. He came back. And now he's quote-unquote retiring again. But do you think that maybe if the payday was big enough, if, like, maybe he bought something stupid and he needed the money, he'll come out of retirement again? Or do you think this is it, he's done, he's not going to come back?
I would say 100% sure he was done if MGM wasn't building that new arena and he has a chance to open it because they're expecting it to be open in April, maybe May.
Plus, if
he could open that new arena in Las Vegas.
Well, plus, if he gets 50-0, doesn't he beat Rocky Marciano's record?
Technically.
Yeah.
Well, so, I mean,
he has the same statistics.
He is a free agent, too, so he could negotiate because he was under contract with Showtime. Right. Yeah, so he could negotiate with HBO. He could negotiate with anybody. I think the new arena is kind of the gray area. Yeah. Is that how excited would you be to open a new arena like that? And trust me, they've been wanting. You got to remember the Thomas Mack Center in Las Vegas is an old building now, and they built that because Jerry Tarkanian and UNLV was doing absolutely amazing. The MGM Grand Arena, although newer, I believe, than the Thomas Mack, it is nothing to be.
Right.
It's not a great arena by any means. It needed updated and stuff. And now you look at how arenas are built now with sky suites and all this stuff. I think that might be appealing to him.
Okay. So you think there is a possibility that
there's a possibility.
Come back. Okay.
But I do believe that it's time for the sport to move on. It's going to be interesting to see if Mayweather brought in people to the sport, if they'll stick around. I think still the fight of the year is not Pacquiao versus Mayweather. Obviously, in retrospect, we know it wasn't. But Miguel Cotto versus Canelo Alvarez. That's going to be the fight of the year.
Yeah.
We got Golovkin versus Lemieux here in a little bit. And if you follow Europe boxing, Klitschko versus Fury here. And so that'll be interesting to see. But his style definitely is probably now hurting the sport more than it's helping. But give him credit. I mean, it's not how you win. It's that you win, as Floyd says. If we were in the same position, would we rather get hit and get knockouts or just make money and then be able to get out of there? I think we'd probably side with how Floyd did it. You know,
I wouldn't just on general principle.
Oh, no? You're just going to go in there crazy? Yeah.
I think there's more honor in taking an ass whooping than running away.
And Berto just didn't have the skills to be successful with Mayweather. Not many people are successful, but then you bring in Berto's skills aren't quite as good as some people that Mayweather has fought in the past, and then it was just a recipe for disaster fight wise. The good news is the undercard was really good, but I mean, at the same time, I'm not sure what they charged.
We're always for fights. Good, Brad.
Oh yeah, we're good. I meant the undercard of that fight.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, so maybe he rides off into the sunset. Maybe he, you know, I do wish people well. I hope he's able to keep on to that huge fortune.
Yeah. I hope he
hate for him to lose it.
No, I do. I want him to lose it.
I know you do.
I do. I want him to lose it.
No, I don't want him to lose it because I don't want him to have to come back.
No, I want him to like lose it all, like in a today he has it. Tomorrow he doesn't, and he has to like live under a bridge and ask me for a dollar.
So like the Rocky syndrome between four and five.
Yeah. I want him to. I want to be in Vegas one day and have him ask me for a dollar.
Well, no, actually, he'd probably go back to the streets of Grand Rapids, maybe.
Even better, then that's closer.
Right, the DeVos Center. But
I'll go out there and he'll ask me for a dollar, and I'll say, "Get a job." And I normally give money to homeless guys, but I will tell him to get a job, you bum.
So the bigger question to me is that because we can look at it in retrospect, let's just see that he's not coming back. Is he a top 10 fighter? You know, those rankings are a little ridiculous because you got different weight classes. They don't fight each other. So let's put it this way. Is he the biggest star boxing has ever seen? Money-wise, pay-per-view draws?
Ooh,
because then tough. Tyson falls in there too, and he's probably not a top 10 fighter.
Yeah.
Well, but if you're talking biggest star though, like doesn't
bigger than
like,
Muhammad Ali? Bigger
star. No, absolutely not. Because people who didn't even like boxing.
Knew
who Muhammad Ali is.
Yeah, but that's the same today. People
no,
that don't
I
know
not,
boxing.
I,
don't know
no,
Floyd Mayweather.
I had no idea Floyd. Who Floyd Mayweather was until I started doing this show.
I'll give you.
I had and I have talked to other people the same way. I mention it and they're like, "Who? No idea whatsoever." But they know who Muhammad Ali is, and that guy hasn't fought in 40 years.
Right.
So the bigger star would be Muhammad Ali.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And Tyson.
Yes.
Absolutely. People knew who Tyson was. Yep. People knew who Muhammad Ali was. Not everybody knew who Mayweather was.
God, that video game helped out Tyson, though.
Do you think people knew who Tyson was just because of the, you know, the bad publicity he had?
No, I think they knew of him because he finished fights in a minute and a half.
Yeah.
Well, no, and actually it was because of the marketing of Tyson.
Sure. Well, yeah.
Mayweather didn't have any marketing besides Mayweather. Mayweather was kind of all-inclusive within the boxing community. He had promotional stuff for himself, but there was no Floyd Mayweather Punch-Out. There was a Mike Tyson Punch-Out. There were video games. There were cartoons with Mike Tyson on
it. Yes, there were.
You know what I'm saying? Like, he was a whole media package. He was on TV shows. He was on cartoons. He was in video games. Like, everybody knew who Tyson was, but not everybody knew who Mayweather was because Mayweather... In the boxing and in the fighting community, everybody knew who he was. Of course they did. But the casual person who didn't follow boxing or anything like that, they did know who Mayweather was.
So it's safe to say that Mayweather's the not to get in the Batman shit with the hero heat they need. When social media is catching up to where it's just everywhere, Floyd Mayweather was the star that boxing needed at that time. Somebody that's out there, brash. You gotta be personable nowadays with social media.
Is he personable though? I don't think
he knows how to sell a fight.
Does that make him personable?
No,
no, not at all.
People follow him on his stuff, whether you hate him or like him, and so he wins.
People follow Paris Hilton on her shit too, and she has nothing to say. I mean,
well,
I would say the same.
I know what Brad's trying to say is it wasn't that he was personable; it was that he provided a fight that. Everybody wanted to see. You either wanted to see because you wanted to see him win, or you watched because you wanted to see him lose.
I don't even know that that's the case. Well, I mean, this wasn't even a sellout fight. This last one was, and I think people were sick.
But
of
everybody
his
was.
Fights.
This last fight was a joke.
I'm just saying, people were sick of seeing him fight.
Yeah.
But at the same time, Marv, your last day at Jabe, you know it's your last day. Are you the one that's crunching numbers on the computer? Or are you the one going to visit friends and then ducking out?
I don't know.
At noon?
Am I getting a $300 million payout?
Well, I'm saying that he earned the right to go out any way he wanted.
I don't believe he did.
Okay. I mean, Showtime wouldn't say it.
He earned the right. His legacy did not.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, because he will forever be remembered as the guy who chumped out in his last fight.
Yes. Yeah. And the whether or not it won't be a real one, but there will always be that asterisk next to his 49-0. Oh, the same as Rocky Marciano, but asterisk, he didn't fight the caliber of fighter that Marciano did. There's always going to be that asterisk there.
It's subjective. It really is.
But then, has anyone dominated fights like Floyd Mayweather? I mean, it made Manny Pacquiao look like he shouldn't have boxed in the last 10 years.
Well, he was also taking that 360 or whatever it is, had an illegal IV that was done beforehand, which didn't come out until months later. And Pacquiao had an injury, which he didn't take anything for, didn't say anything about it, but he didn't take it. He could have. I mean, the way that Mayweather was doing it, he could have taken a cortisone shot.
Okay, I'm huge on Canelo. I think Canelo is the guy that's going to be the next star going forward.
Canelo was still very early in his career.
But he had been fighting since 16 and had almost 50 fights. I'm just saying that I've seen Mayweather just be absolutely amazing in the ring where people can't hit him.
I'm not denying that
dominating
there have
from
been,
round 1 to round 12
I'm not
sometimes.
Denying that there have been some fights where he was, you know, very dominant, and he made his opponent look ridiculous, you know. But at the same time, if you really want to hold on to that 49-0, I tied with Rocky Marciano legacy, you can't chump out on your last fight. You have to go out fighting as hard as you can fight against the hardest opponents you can fight right up until the end.
Which was never going to happen.
Church.
Which was never going to happen. So, yeah.
He could have fought Khan.
He could have. It looks like Pacquiao might fight Amir Khan.
Yeah, I saw that.
Amir Khan might have had... He would have for sure had more success than Berto. Berto was a little bit slow.
I mean, Marv could have done better than Berto.
I'm not huge on Amir Khan like everybody else is because I saw that chin, and I just... I don't know. As fast as he is, as entertaining as he can be sometimes, it's what Amir Khan you'll get. It's the same with Miguel Cotto. It's what Miguel Cotto will you get. Are you going to get the Cotto that looked like he should have hanged him up? Are you going to get the Amir Khan that looks like he could hang him up? To me, I'm more interested in see how Pacquiao would bounce back from the Amir Khan or the Mayweather fight and how he would do against Amir Khan. But
pretty good fight.
It would be, and it'll sell. Pacquiao's huge, and Amir Khan's huge in Britain, and so you're going to get a lot of people sell it. But we move on, and we look for new superstars, and Oscar De La Hoya didn't disappoint with his tweet. We posted it, but he said, thank God the most boring era in boxing is over with, and let's move on to Golovkin, all these
I'm
other fighters that,
again, church.
Somebody said, and I'm trying to think who it was that, who said it to me? Is that if you remember, Oscar De La Hoya was in talks of maybe coming back. What if he came back for the 50th fight against an Oscar who's not fought in a long time, which would be just obscene. Oscar would not be ready. But that would be the fight, the 50th, the Oscar De La Hoya fight.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll see. I think that new arena is going to be the one thing that maybe pulls Mayweather back. He loves Vegas. I mean, he's just not coming back.
Vegas, baby.
Vegas, baby. Yeah. And he likes the lifestyle. To be able to say, I opened, that would be pretty cool.
Yeah. No, I can definitely see that happening.
Right. Now, the fun that can begin, though, is that, whether Mayweather runs or whether he's defensive or anything like that, people will always look back on his career and say what he was. That's where Mayweather has to be at peace with himself and just not care what people think.
Right.
And
and just swim in his pools of money.
Right, exactly. I know. That guy always has, cash, debit card for that guy. We lose a 20 out of the back pocket. We're
I
lost 20.
He carries money with him.
Right.
Everywhere he goes, a backpack of money he carries with him.
Yeah. Can you imagine losing that? That would be crazy.
That's chump change for him.
Yeah.
Right.
That's chump change for him. Yeah. Yeah, you and I lose a 20, it's like, shit, I'm not going to be able to eat for a week.
He carries around $1 million with him.
And he can.
Isn't that what it is?
He can?
Yeah.
Ridiculous. He pays cash for stuff. So
ridiculous.
Ridiculous.
It is.
I want him to lose it all.
So Floyd Mayweather,
yeah.
The end of an era in boxing, whether he continues or not on his 50th fight, it was a monumental week in boxing. And we move on. The crazy thing is that Klitschko fights Fury in 2 weeks, I think. And no one cares about this fight. Maybe Tyson Fury is the one guy that can beat Klitschko. He's big enough that Klitschko can't hold him. Maybe this is the end of it. And just because there's no love for the heavyweight division right now in boxing is that no one even knows this fight's happening. Which is sad.
Yeah, I didn't even know it was happening.
Tyson Fury versus Klitschko is coming up. We talked about Golovkin Lemieux, which is going to be a great fight. And then the big one, Cotto now versus Canelo, which will be absolutely huge.
Rochelle's yes!
Saul Canelo Alvarez.
Saul!
Who is my favorite?
You know what? Whenever they announce him, you ever see European, especially Latin American soccer announcers? They're like, go! It's the same thing with Canelo's name. It's like, and introduce him to the ring, and it's Saul Canelo. Just that, how they elongate the, never mind.
I know totally what you're talking about.
Yeah, good.
I'm surprised, though, when we were talking about Mayweather, I thought of it, Jimmy does the hard work of getting the songs for it. It would have been cool when we were talking about it if we could have had Boys to Men in the background, so hard to say
goodbye. Puberty sucks. Puberty sucks, doesn't it, Brad?
Yeah. So hard to say goodbye to
my first beer.
But that would have been that would have been a good loop in the background, Boys to Men.
No. I think the song that I picked was even better.
Yeah.
Are we going to hear it at the music break?
We're going to probably hear at the music.
Here's
a preview. At least one of them.
Here's a preview.
Na, 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 na. Na, 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 na. Hey, 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 goodbye.
Everyone knows the song, but not many people know who sang that song.
I don't know. I downloaded it.
You downloaded it and you don't know.
Doesn't matter.
It's fitting.
We move
Everybody
on to,
knows about it.
We move on to MMA, though. We got to touch base really quick before we go to a break. Nick Diaz suspended 5 years by the Nevada Commission
and
for marijuana.
And fined like $165,000?
Yeah, a lot of his purse.
Right.
His $500,000 purse. Nick Diaz, not a happy guy.
There are a lot of people not happy.
Right, exactly. Because there's a lot of pot smokers in MMA, you know? So, like, that's first and foremost.
And this is what I don't get, okay? I can understand if you ban somebody for taking a performance-enhancing drug, like, you know, testosterone and steroids and stuff like that. I get that. The dude smoked pot. Anybody who has smoked pot in their life knows that all you want to do is sit down on the couch and eat Cheetos.
Exactly.
I've get into the ring and punch a guy in the face.
I've never seen anybody or even heard of anybody spark a doob and then go on a punching spree.
Yeah, exactly.
It doesn't happen.
And all it does, like, he should actually, like, get more credit.
They'd calm you down, too. Like, why would you?
Yeah, I was like, you should even get more credit for smoking the Mary Jane and getting into the cage and freaking annihilating somebody. Like, I don't get why pot is considered a substance ban. There's nothing performance enhancing about it. It's exactly the opposite, in fact.
But you're arguing out after the fact, and here's the thing is that the Nevada State Commission, Athletic Commission, has a rule. He violated the rule. It's the third time he's violated the rule.
And I understand that. But what I'm saying is, like,
and he's 32 years of age, and so basically this is a death sentence.
Yeah,
you're not
going to
be back in 5 years.
Because it's 5 years, right? Yeah, 37. He'd be my age, almost.
Right.
Yeah.
Personally, Nick Diaz and the Diaz brothers have always been kind of anti-UFC or kind of bucking the system, have often talked about leaving. I don't know how interested he was in maybe fighting anyways. It always seemed like the Diaz brothers were always threatening retirement and stuff. And going off... After going off his last fight, I don't know if the Diaz brothers technically should be UFC level anymore anyways. And that being said, you bring up a good point. Should marijuana be banned? It isn't a performance-enhancing drug. We know that much. He did have his card to smoke marijuana, which doesn't matter because it's a commission.
Yep.
So it doesn't matter how he's able to do it. And they wanted to make an example of him. Not only did he do that, he missed a drug test. When they had a pre-fight drug test, he didn't show up for it, didn't do it. You know, Nick Diaz.
He kind of, I mean.
They're making an example for future fighters.
It's exactly what it is. And he kind of did sign his own death warrant because this was the third time he got busted. He missed a drug test. You know, he was doing all these things that were just kind of that really painted a target on his back.
He's setting himself up for his second career. Now he can move to Denver and start like a UFC fighter pot bus tour because they do those out there.
Right.
So, I mean, I would take the trip. $50 a trip. You get to cruise around with him and his brother and smoke a dude with him. And
now, the number one.
Or do you think it'd be more like he'll open his own MMA gym in Denver where, like, part of the requirement is you smoke a dude.
You walk in,
you bow to sensei, you smoke a dude, and then you get into the ring.
If nothing else, a contact high anyway. He'll have a room, like, instead of a shower room,
instead of a sauna,
it's a hot box room. Yeah. Like, you go in, you just hot box it, and then you come out, and you're like, hey.
That's me accidentally. Sorry about that.
Oh, that's you? Oh.
Sorry, it's going crazy.
What are you
crazy.
Doing? Turn off the porn, Brad.
No. It's pop-up ad.
Oh.
Yeah, if anything, though, not to make too much humor of it, but it's tougher to probably make weight on marijuana. So, like, I mean,
you got the munchies, you know?
Respect that love.
Well, actually, no, I...
really, dude?
Like, dude, turn your sound off.
I don't know how to do
you that. Know, I know, it's a brand new laptop.
I don't
know. It's a brand new... You hit the function and then find your thing down here.
There we go. I don't know how to do that.
You should have seen us DVD last night.
I was saying, in all fairness to Brad, it is a brand new laptop.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So
I don't know all the kinks and edges.
Yeah,
and
that's fine. But he did upgrade from an Apple to a Toshiba.
I would not call that an upgrade.
No, it's an upgrade. It is an upgrade.
Not in the least.
Yeah, no,
dude.
It is an upgrade.
That's because he
Yeah, you know why? Because I want my computer to just work when I use it.
mine has worked for 9 years. It's actually gone on deployment with me, got sand inside of it, and it still works.
Great.
That's all I'm saying. Every Apple that went overseas, it broke within 2 months.
Horseshit.
No, so
it did.
Basically, when I was in college, I took Logic 2, and Logic was a great class because
the Venn diagram and everything.
Oh yeah, yeah. It taught you how to argue points, right? And watching the MMA fans of the world argue against,
I know,
you're like you almost want to sign everybody up for college.
You don't need a Logic course to watch people in comments.
No,
like
I'm just
idiots.
I'm just saying that people are like, well, John Jones did cocaine and he's not suspended. First off, look at your argument here. He didn't test for it before a fight,
right.
John Jones. So the commission doesn't have a way to even punish that.
Right.
And second off, the whole John Jones thing, he hasn't fought since. I don't know if there's going to be a punishment. But people are like,
right.
John Jones with the cocaine running off in the streets and everything, he should be punished. It's like, if that's your argument against Nick Diaz not being able to follow four corners of a rule and say, okay, that is definitely out of the box, I know I shouldn't be doing this. That sucks. You know, the worst part about it is this purse was probably held. Typically in states, your purse is held. Now he's getting the purse, and a lot of it's taken out of
right.
it. That's the worst part.
Yeah.
Was that pot worth $160,000?
Yeah. Well, I don't know.
If it was good shit, maybe it
was. I don't know where it came from, but, man, you know, that's got to be some good ganja.
A lot of people would work a lot of years to get to 160, and Nick Diaz just basically on a marijuana lifestyle got rid of it pretty
literally
quick.
Up in smoke.
Literally up in smoke.
Yeah.
But
badass weed.
I thought we could think of some Nick Diaz sponsors that he could get just now that he's not fighting.
Oh, well, absolutely. Doritos.
Exactly.
High Times.
High Times.
Yeah. Hostess.
Magazine.
Hostess,
Taco Cheetos. Bell. Absolutely Taco Bell.
Yeah, absolutely Taco Bell.
Absolutely, yeah.
The fifth and sixth meal.
Yeah. Zigzag.
Zigzag, yeah.
Zippo lighters.
Hydro Giant.
Wait, I don't know. I don't know anyone that...
Zippo lighters?
Use Zippo lighters for pot.
I don't know. Just,
no. It depends on the type
kind
of Zippo.
Kind of a disorganized flame for pot.
Well, it depends on the Zippo lighter, though. How are you doing it, though? But either way.
I don't know. I don't know.
Let's see. What else?
Bic.
Okay, Bic. Yeah.
Bic. Okay. Bic. Incense. Any incense company.
Yeah, sure.
Incense, yeah.
Not a lot of money in those because it's 25 cents a cone or a dollar. But, you know, some money.
Yeah, but it costs like half a cent to make. So it's all about percentages. Yeah.
Oh, God, I can't think of it. The head shops. Like, there's a specific one that I'm thinking of, and I can't think of the name of it.
Man.
And surprise, Joe Rogan came out in an interview and said he didn't like it. By the way, Joe Rogan smokes a lot of pot.
I don't know
if you don't know that.
He
was against it. Go figure. Yeah. So, you know.
Man, I don't think...
It's amazing the pot smokers get together and rally around stuff like that. They're just like, you know.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, but it burns out real quick. They're like, yeah, we hate this.
Yeah, wait, what were we talking about?
What were we mad at yesterday? I don't even remember, man.
Wait, you can't do that. Wait, what were we just talking about, man?
We're still waiting an official statement from Dana White, too, on it. I don't even know if they're going to comment, because how can you comment on this from an intellectual standpoint? And you got to respect the rules. They've been having problems with people not passing drug tests, whether it be for steroids or other stuff.
Let me ask you this. So Diaz, the Nevada State Commission, barred him from fighting, right?
Correct.
But that's just Nevada. He could fight in another state different...
states honor other states. They're supposed to.
Okay. All right.
And
that's why I was asking.
I don't know. I think every state heard about this.
I'm sure. But now here's a question. Could he fight overseas? Could he get like on Pride and go fight in like Japan?
Well, yeah, if Pride was to be around or something. I don't know the technical legal. You're supposed to honor.
Okay. I'm asking because you know more about that than I do.
Yeah. So Nevada says that, and then Michigan's supposed to honor it and say, yeah, you didn't do it. You're not allowed to fight there. You're not allowed to fight here. There was the case in which Mike Tyson was suspended for Nevada because he bit Evander Holyfield's ear. And then so that's why he had to fight in Tennessee versus Lennox Lewis, because Nevada wasn't going to award him a license.
Right.
I think a suspension and awarding a license is a different thing.
Okay.
If I remember correctly, and I could be totally wrong if anyone knows, I think Tyson was trying to renew a license or get a license back to box again, which is a little different than a suspension.
Mm-hmm.
But I was a little tyke back then when he was right. biting ears and shit yeah. like that. I remember where I was, Myrtle Beach, when he bit the ear.
Oh, yeah?
Yep, I was at a bar watching it, and I was like, he bit his ear.
So you weren't a little tyke then?
No, I was probably 21, 22, 23, 24.
Way to pick ages over 21 since you said you were in a bar.
21,
he's like, I was like 16, 17.
I was like, oh, he bit an ear. Well, he bit an ear again. So... I mean, and I was a huge Tyson guy, too.
I mean, the guy probably just cut weight. He was kind of hungry, you know.
Oh, Evander, he's a heavyweight. Tyson doesn't have to cut weight.
Yeah. Evander had some scrumptious ears, though. I mean, those things looked good.
You know, and it's so funny, too. Evander Holyfield, and speaking of fighters that have gone through hard times, Evander Holyfield made a lot of money and is on the hard times now. He does have a barbecue sauce. I hope that works out for him. But he forgave Tyson, and I think about that all the time. I'm like, if someone bit my ear, I would not forgive them. I don't even care. Like, I don't – we're not friends ever again.
If Mike Tyson does anything to you, you forgive him, okay? You forgive him. Whatever Mike Tyson does to you, you say, hey, not a problem, champ.
Okay, that wasn't my phone. Who went off that time?
What's going on now?
I don't know. Like, we must have a special guest. No. We must have pizza coming.
Oh,
I don't know
pizza?
What's going on. No.
Sweet.
There you go.
What's going on? Holy cow. Know. All right. And that note, we're going to get ready for a break here.
Yeah,
really
let's
quick
take a break,
like,
really fast because we don't know what's going on.
All the electronics
right now.
Are going crazy. We'll be back. We're going to talk TXC
it's
and then we
haunted.
Got a guest.
All
right.
All right.
This is a previously recorded episode of The Undercard, Hand Combat Radio.
Welcome back to The Undercard, episode 156. We got a Smooth P over there. What was the nickname?
Smooth P?
Oh, Master G.
Master G.
Smooth P.
Smooth P.
What? No, that's what happens after you've taken your
antibiotics.
Yeah, exactly.
After
the cranberry juice kicks in.
I haven't had a Smooth P ever since Liz joined the show. So.
Oh!
If it lasts more than 4 hours, please seek a doctor.
I say, yeah, don't see a doctor. You should be freaking clapping and singing
exactly.
and bouncing all over.
Oh, completely
if
off topic.
If it lasts more than 4 hours, I'm knocking on every neighbor's door. Like, hey.
kind of on topic, but completely off topic. Did you hear about that guy that had the robotic penis in Scotland?
Actually, no.
Okay, so just really quickly, it's a guy that when he was younger – lost his genitalia in some kind of accident. He had a little bit of his sack left, but everything else was gone.
I like how Jimmy referred to genitalia earlier and then referred to sack.
Well, so anyways,
he's like being all like his genitalia, but a little bit of his sack.
Right,
left.
But so basically, they took parts of his forearm. And built no, hold on.
Yeah.
It was a 100. He had 119 operations, including them growing the skin in the lab,
the grams,
to create it, to create this thing. And it's basically a robotic penis that he now has. But here's the thing. This is what made me think of it. In order to make sure that it worked properly, in order for when he first got it attached, he had to have it fully erect for 2 weeks straight.
Yes.
For 2 weeks straight.
For the muscle.
Oh, my God.
Right, exactly.
You'd be knocking stuff over.
We're talking, during break about Iraq, Afghanistan. Yeah. Guys coming back, and, the first thing, they get their legs blown off. They, it's like no big deal. First question they ask is, my junk still there?
Yep. Wow. Exactly.
Yeah.
I will, and that's exactly what it is. I'm okay if I lost a leg, but do my twigs and berries still work?
Yep. 2 weeks of
beans and franks.
Yep. Only be done with
beans
like,
and
what?
Franks. Yeah.
Baywatch complete series just on repeat.
Maybe.
Baywatch week. Because he had a little bit of his scrotum still intact, he is able to climax and he is able to reproduce. So
from a robot?
No. He had a little bit of his scrotum left.
The testy must have been in place because that's what produces the sperm.
Doesn't it have to come out the robot penis?
And that's why
they hooked everything up.
Everything is functional.
Right. The fans or the sperm duct and all that.
All he has to do is he has a little sack that's on the side of his now regrown scrotum that he pushes on. It turns it on. It fills the.
I'm sorry.
No, I know. But basically, it fills it up, I guess, with like saline is what gets it erect. just like blood would do for a normal person.
Right.
And then when he's done, he clicks on it again, and all the saline goes back in the sack, and all done.
His woman's like, am I turning you on? He's like, nah, go
no,
hold on.
Here's the thing.
Oh, it's just me.
He is still a virgin because he lost it when he was so young. He is still a virgin. He was married 6 years ago. Did not tell his wife that he had no genitalia until their wedding night.
That's fraud.
She stayed with him for years. Yeah. She stayed with him for 2 years until finally she said, I can't take it anymore. But he said he's gone on, countless talk shows or whatever and says that it changed his life now that he has.
Well, yeah, he'll be doing porn in no time.
You mean
that's what everybody's talking about.
His freaking tongue wasn't working? What?
Maybe that's why she stayed with him for 2 years.
We're gonna be moving on to a much more adult subject in 10 minutes. So the kids need to go to bed. But let's finish up really quickly in the MMA world. Jimmy, I had to take off and watch the Mayweather fight, but you and Liz stuck around.
Yes, absolutely.
And saw TXC.
Yeah.
The fights I saw were absolutely good.
Oh, they were amazing. But that's the thing is, like, everybody's like, well, which one was the best fight? And it's kind of hard to say because any event that I go, any TXC event I go to, Joe Battaglia puts on such a great show. All the fights are so evenly matched, and they're so exciting that it's really kind of hard to say that one was better than the other one. I mean, yeah, there were knockouts of the night, and there were some that were just, a lot more crowd-pleasing than the other ones, but every single fight was just a fantastic fight from beginning to end.
Everyone, if you don't know yet, Mo won the big fight versus Conor.
He did.
Cuppy.
Oh. He did. Yep. He won by unanimous decision.
Mm-hmm. And okay.
What was all the talk? Did it live up to the hype?
Well,
talk?
And here's the thing.
No.
Because there was a whole lot of smack talk
there
going
was.
On.
There was. But the thing was, is they both had very, very different game plans.
Okay.
Mo wanted to stand and bang.
He even said that after everything and he won. He's like, it did not go as how I did.
No. Okay. He wanted to stand and bang, and Conor wanted to go to the ground.
There was on the ground for sure.
Well, like, hold on. So what would happen a lot of times is there was one time where Conor tried to get Mo in a standing rear naked choke, and Mo used the cage smartly and basically kind of waited him out until Conor gave up. And then anytime they went on the ground, Mo got into a dominant position, got back up, and wanted to get Conor to come back up. But Conor kept coming at him. He'd throw a leg. He'd basically kind of throw the leg and kind of like entice Mo to come down to the ground with him. But Mo wouldn't do it. He would stay standing and then kind of kick Conor while he was on the ground.
He was on the ground the entire time that the crowd was literally booing him.
Yeah.
Really?
The crowd was booing him.
Well, because it went, the first couple of times, Conor.
Conor was on the ground.
Because what would happen is Conor would go on the ground, go on his back, trying to entice Mo to get on the ground with him, and Mo wouldn't do it. He'd kick him a couple times, then he'd back away and wait for him to get up, and then they'd go at it again, and then it was just kind of like rinse, repeat, again. So it was a good fight. I know Mo definitely wanted the knockout, which he wasn't able to achieve, so I know he was a little disappointed with that, but he got the win, and that's what's important, so...
No.
Yep.
Best fight of the night?
Well, no. So I'm gonna kind of go through here. So we had the amateur fights, which Malky Berlin versus Amy Masters. Malky Berlin won in the first round by an armbar. George Simos beat Michael Wingell in the third round by reverse choke. Marco Smallman beat Marcus Malding in the second round by way of triangle choke. And then Chad Griz, who I rooted for because Chad is an old guy like me, in his revenge match beat Mike Smiley in the first round with TKO by ref stoppage. He was just pounding him into the ground. And then the guy just, the ref stopped it. And then Bozzi won over Thompson by unanimous decision. Brandon McLaughlin beat Tim Tirado in
Cool
the first
Brandon,
round.
Submission of the night?
Yep. By way of submission of the night, Brandon Noble beat Rick Ogden in 42 seconds in the first round by knockout, earning him the co-knockout of the night. This, I don't know, if you've ever seen it, but basically Brandon hit him, Ogden went down. He basically punched him on the ground, and then the ref stopped it. And Ogden was on the ground in that kind of like zombie thing where his arms was out, and he like his arms were shaking. He he couldn't figure out what was going on.
Wow,
like, yeah,
man.
Those are the ones that scare me.
Yeah.
Andrew, and if I mispronounce the name, I apologize. Ventimiglia beat Daniel Winston in the first round by TKO. Andrew Crows beat Travis Penigin in the second round by TKO by ref stoppage. He got to the second round. They were 2 seconds away from going into the third round, and the ref stopped it at 4 minutes,
wow,
58 seconds. Mike Hernandez beat Keith Bullock in the first round by way of ref stoppage due to strikes. Michael MacArthur beat Jamie Espinoza in the second round by way of TKO. Tyler Moore won by unanimous decision over Anthony Fleming. Bobby Nash beat Leonard Simpson in the second round by knockout, earning him the knockout of the night. He caught him, which I believe, with a spinning heel kick and just knocked him to the ground. It was definitely the knockout of the night. In the highly anticipated grudge match, Mo Chatri won by unanimous decision over Connor Cuppy. Victor Jones retained his lightweight heavyweight belt after the first round when his opponent Victor Torres could not continue to the second round. They had made it past the first round. They were going into the second round. You could see the doctor and the ref over in Torres's corner, and then the ref stopped it, so it never actually got to the second round. And then the main event of the evening, Adrian, I'm not even going to try to pronounce his last name.
Butcher it. Butcher it.
Hadrij Beige, I greatly apologize, won by unanimous decision over Kyle Nelson in what was one of his toughest fights to win the lightweight championship belt. Now, the last couple of times I saw TXC, now this guy right here, he's from Albania. He's got a huge following.
He was amazing.
It's amazing. Like, the pageantry and the amount of people and the supporters that he has and how wild the crowd goes when he comes. But the last couple of times I've seen this guy fight, he just literally walked through his opponents. I believe they've never gone past like the first round, like maybe even halfway through the first round. It like he just walks through his opponents.
He didn't put his head down to one time.
No, but in this fight, Kyle Nelson from Canada, it was Albania versus Canada. I got to give the guy credit. He took some of Adrian's hardest hits. Adrian was teeing off on his head like a bunch of times, and Kyle just kept coming at him. It went all the way through all five rounds, mm-hmm, to the unanimous decision. And I got to say, that was probably the best fight of the night, because there were times where I thought Adrian might be in trouble. Kyle had him on the ground. He had him in a dominant position. He almost got some of the moves in, but he just couldn't quite finish it. It was probably the hardest fight that Adrian has ever had to fight. And I think it was really good for his career, because now we know he can go the distance and he can fight an opponent who will not go down quickly.
Wow, okay. Sounds like an exciting night then.
It was a very exciting night from beginning to end. You know, I mean, the amateur started, I think, at like 6, or no, at 5, like right around there. And then the last fight ended at what, 12?
Midnight.
Midnight,
yeah.
About midnight. But now normally, you know, I'll go to some fights, and there are fights where I'm just kind of like, okay, you know, let me go to something to drink. Let me get this. You know, let me do it. But this one, like, I didn't want to, like, not watch the fight. Like, I had to go to the bathroom at one point in time, and I was literally, like, peeking until I went inside the door, like, trying to watch the ring. And then as soon as I came out, I'm like, what did I miss? What did I miss? Because it was just such a great, great fight all around.
All right. So WXC, I'm sorry, TXC. Jeez, oh, Pete's. TXC. Another great show. Joseph Battaglia does it right, so we enjoy going
right
there.
Always does it right.
Taylor Moore's debut, everyone was waiting to see that. He fought a guy with a lot of experience.
Anyone.
Yeah.
The Mo versus Connor Cuppy fight, everyone wanted to see that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was a good show, man, and it was huge. It was packed.
It was packed.
2,000 people?
Yeah. 2,000 people, 15 fights, I think it was.
Yep. That's a good show.
Yeah.
That's a good show.
It was a very good show. But I think out of the 2,000, like 1,500 were there for Adrian. I mean, seriously.
We were literally getting pushed off our chairs.
Yeah. I mean, seriously, I do have to say TXC, like last time I went there, when Adrian went to fight, it was pandemonium, but there was like – it was dangerous the amount that it was. They really like – crack down on like standing in the aisles and not standing in front of the cage and like try to keep people, you know, allowing them to see the fight but not get too crazy with it, which I thought was pretty good.
So it is the officially the 8 o'clock hour, and at 8 o'clock we are asking you to not let anyone listen to the segment. This is our warning going forward, as we move on to adult topics here.
Don't let anybody underage
listen. Underage, right.
No, it's like, don't let anybody listen to this segment.
No, listen. Listen away, but definitely he's coming up in a second, but definitely listener discretion advised. So, yeah.
You know, we are now coming up on the after hours portion. Dun, dun.
We didn't have that problem though when we first started, because we were at the 9 o'clock hour. By 10 o'clock, yeah. It just seems like it could be like
that
share up all
right
night.
Exactly, and that's the difference between, you know, like what you show on you know primetime TV at 8 o'clock versus what you show on primetime TV at like 11 o'clock.
Yeah,
it's a little bit different.
So our sex guru, who is on our station, podcastdetroit.com. First off, we're going to get to learn a little bit about him. He does have a book out. We're going to let him for sure talk about his book.
The cover is awesome. Saw the cover earlier. I want to buy it just based on the cover.
Then we're going to ask him some questions and let him
absolutely
let him have some fun with the undercard. So welcome.
Well, welcome everybody. I appreciate you guys having me on.
Spinderella cut it up one time.
Oh, baby.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be the salt. Yeah, right. It wasn't me.
So you have a show on Podcast Detroit?
Yes, I do. It's on actually Sunday nights at 9 to 11 here at Podcast Detroit. Sunday nights, it's the Art of Relationships radio show. And we'll talk about relationship, sexual dynamics, and also get in maybe some grief and loss aspects as well. I take live callers, and I also have a live chat as well. So it's a lot of fun, a lot of joking around, talking about. I know Jess has been active on the show as well a couple times too.
Oh,
so it's a lot.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun, and hopefully helping a lot of people out. That's why I do the show, and I mean that's what field I'm in, and my passion is about helping people. So I have an office in downtown Detroit in Penobscot Building. Trying to think what else. Oh, the book, yeah, the hot title, Seize That Total Connection, Achieving the Emotional and Sexual Relationship You Crave, Baby.
Ooh.
And we're going to plug it a few times.
It's on Amazon.com and also createspace.com. It's an ebook and paperback versions.
So when our grandparents were around, relationships were a lot more simple.
They just seemed like they were simple.
Possibly.
Are you saying you imagine your grandparents having sex?
No.
That is what I do to last longer. That is absolutely what I do to last longer.
What I am saying is...
Ew!
I know. Sorry, Brian. No.
What I am saying is that nowadays relationships are a little bit more complex due to whether it be social, whether it be expectations that are put onto us via media and stuff like that. It was basically, I don't know, I don't want to say the dark ages of sex and sexual revolution, but until Masters and Johnson come along,
very knowledgeable, Brad.
I did take human sexuality. they were,
it's my baby. I teach at
right.
Too.
They were the people that came up with the squeeze technique to go longer,
start and stop technique.
Yeah, exactly.
Sensei focus. That's all that good stuff.
So then it became one of those things where there was a lot more research in it. And some people like Masters and Johnson came along, and other scientists came along, and there was more studies on it. And now we come into a day where sex is thrown in our face every 2 seconds, whether it be a billboard, whether it be a commercial, whether it's talked about. And
it sells.
It does.
My wife hates it when I throw my sex in her face.
So Greg is needed more now than ever is what I was getting at
Thank you, Brad.
Because there's a lot of outside influences that affect relationships. So basically, tell us your background. How did you get into this? And from tell us why it's important to have your help.
Okay, it is, let's see, how did I get into this? It's been a passion of mine for a long time. I had a...
Sex is Mars' passion.
Yeah, sex is always a passion, and it always forever should be. So when you're 80, 85 years old, you never lose that passion. You know, on a side note, you know the highest STD and STI rates? You know where they're at?
The geriatric community.
You're absolutely correct, man.
Nursing homes. Absolutely. Nursing homes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nursing homes.
And we've been trying to keep Jimmy out of there, but he just keeps wandering in
those
places.
Well, no, Jimmy. It's perfect because, like, you know, you're in a you get caught or whatever, you're just like, oh, this isn't my room. I didn't realize.
You have Alzheimer's and dementia, but
I've lost the lung. I'm not going to let syphilis take me down.
Absolutely not at all. Shit, Dad. Hey, give me a shot. I'll be good to go, man.
I'm going to go get Martha.
Yeah. Can you look at this? It's only got one eye. It's supposed to have two, right?
I think we're underestimating the power of a sponge bath.
Oh, yeah.
And what gets in your thoughts?
Yeah. Let's see. It's been a passion. Oh, God. Passion for a long time. A lot of people know, and students, everything. I said I didn't think I was smart enough to get in this field, but relationships, sexual dynamics have been a passion of mine. Also, I don't any longer, but I also specialize in trauma, PTSD and trauma in kids, sexual abuse, you know, working with kids that, you know, dad cut mom's head off in front of the kids, you know, killed himself, stuff like that.
But that's not hyperbole like that.
No, that's legit, man.
Ah,
that's legit. First responders. I still work with first responders, but 80% of my clients are relationship based, you know, either. You know, I do see individuals coming out of a divorce type situation, whatever, but I deal with a lot of couples, affair basis, you name it. You know, the old standby, communication issues, sexual issues. And it's funny because a lot of the complaints, you know, it's either old communication or lack of sex. And I tell people, I've been keeping unofficial stats the last 8 years. And 65% of the complaints, lack of sex, come from who people? Who do you think they come from?
The
65% of the complaints coming from not getting enough sex.
Women.
You're absolutely right.
Yep. Yeah.
Absolutely right. And they assume that the guy, right? Oh, he's banging somebody else. He's cheating on me. He doesn't love me. He's not attracted to me anymore. Well, I look at her and I said, yeah, you're right. He's not attracted to you anymore. But
No, that happens. I know it does happen.
What you're getting right now
is the Rochelle, I'm going to kill you glare.
What the hell's that for?
Did you see that? You don't insult the ladies in front of Rochelle.
It's not insulting.
They're all beautiful.
And it could be stress, money. You know, it's all stress. Or if the wife is, you know, proverbially, you know, nagging, whatever, stress, they sort of back away from that aspect. And you look at the dynamics, what's going on. And I've had, you know, in their late 20s, I'll say mid-late 20s, where the girlfriend, wife, whatever, comes in and said, Greg, you know, first session, Greg, you know what? I'm just not turned on. He gained 40 pounds. I look at him. I'm not turned on by him. And I'm like, oh, my God, I feel like I got kicked in the nuts. Right? You know, and I'm like, ouch, whatever. And it's like I give her credit for being honest, but it's like, okay, now where do we go
from
here?
How do you keep from saying, like, well, look at your own ass there?
Oh, no, was hot.
Oh, was she?
I couldn't. And you have to be, you know, professional. You try to not be biased, judgmental. You look at where they can connect. And I try to, even in a book, I talk about the total connection, about, you know, the mind, you know, mind, body, heart, and soul, and where you can connect on all those levels, if possible, or try to connect on most of those to hit all those.
But how
aspects.
Do you overcome something like that? Like, she ain't attracted to my man.
That's a good question. Then you look at what do you have to do to maybe get there if you choose to, you know, and let's face it, I don't care what BS story we're taught when we're kids, when we're raised, whatever, but let's face it, physical attraction and draws us in there, but it's the personality. You know, when they open their mouth, that attraction can definitely decrease or increase when they open their mouth.
I've always said I like my women like I like my phones in the movie theater, on silent.
Oh, sweet.
Let me ask you this, Greg.
Please.
In your practice or whatever, yes, with these kind of relationships, do you find that women tend to be a little bit more shallow when it comes to physical attractiveness than the men?
You know what? I find that across the board. It's about equal, to be honest.
It's about equal.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. Let's face it. Women, you know, I joke around with Emma. I got to be careful so I don't swear on your show because it's your show, not mine.
Yeah, we don't stand for that shit on the show.
Sweet. I can be. Yeah. I'm a huge smartass. So when it's appropriate, and I get, you know, women, guys, yeah, will come in and they'll talk. Yeah, yeah, I got laid, whatever. Woohoo, high five, whatever. Mm. Women get very, very specific. You know what? He did me like this. He licked me here. He kissed me there. Right. Sucked me. They get very specific.
Yeah.
Right, ladies?
Wow.
Yeah. I know, yeah. Jess, we talked about this.
Well, you know what? Why don't we have a little impromptu therapy session right now with one of
actually,
these ladies?
Let's talk about this. Somebody, three girls and three guys.
Somebody mentioned about dating woes.
Dating woes? Well, that's Jimmy.
Yeah,
that's
Jimmy. Oh, someone Jimmy, mentioned that on
Jimmy
I don't,
has
yeah,
a whole blog
oh,
about
no.
the crap he's been through.
Oh, shit.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's – yeah, I mean – what I put on my blog is just the funny and amusing stories of the
plug
dates
your
that
blog.
I went on.
What's your plug your blog?
Yeah, it's www.datinginthedigitalage.wordpress.com.
Sweet.
But yeah, it's all the funny stories or what I find to be amusing stories from dates that I've gone on, the people that I've met while I've been doing the online dating thing or whatever.
There are plenty of stories he has that end with him crying.
No,
I mean not on the blog. Lots
oh, right.
of people
oh,
doesn't
right,
tell.
Right.
Most of them end with him crying.
But
a lot of affairs start this way.
Yeah. But I actually so like all the good dates that I went on that just didn't like nothing happened afterwards for one reason or another are not on the blog. You know, and there have been very very nice women
but
that I've met that just for one reason
you don't
or another,
connect you don't click.
Well it's not
the chemistry ain't there.
Well it's not even necessarily chemistry, like there was one where
or they're ugly.
Well no, actually that's not like there was one you know, like we connected and it like everything went well, but then afterwards she's like you know, I'm still like, I thought I was ready. I'm just not ready. I need some more time because she just came off a divorce or whatever.
She's making you feel better, bro.
No, I understand that. There was
rebound.
One where
the
there was
rebound,
one
dude.
Where there was one where you know, we had a really good date. We only went out on one day. We had a really good date, and then afterwards, you know, she's just like, I'm not feeling it, and I'm
right.
like, that's fine. You
it
know?
Happens.
And there, exactly, and that's why
you
I
don't take
them,
it personal, man.
No,
you just,
and that's
yeah.
and that's the thing is like, if you're not feeling it, be honest. I don't care if you say, you know what, I'm just not feeling it, but you know, just be
that's
honest
when you,
with
that's
me.
Just when you go downtown. If she's not feeling it, you get down there.
Yeah,
and
I
work
don't.
That.
No, mm-hmm. you hope she don't have a freaking.
Well, that's yeah. you always
you don't want you hope she I, don't have a muskrat down there.
Well, no,
let's
this is the thing. I advocate this all the time. You always send in the scout.
Yes,
you send in
finger
the scout.
Check.
You finger check. You get yeah. it down there. Then you bring
hold
it up.
On,
you give
on,
her a
hold,
hug and you
on.
Give it a little sniff.
Ladies,
and then if it's yes. not good, you're like, no. hey, baby,
the
why don't we
check.
Take a shot?
Hold on. Ladies, what are you writing down there?
Yeah, they're
I'm very observant. You got a hit on this. Come
yeah,
on.
No. This is just our girl talk between.
You can do that. Jump
yeah,
on.
Yeah, we want
no,
to hear.
Jump on this. What is your?
Yeah,
what is your? What do you look for? Hold on. And I did a last couple shows was about spoiling, you know, spoiling your lady. And of course, I had a, you know, spoiling your lady was Sunday night, and then a week or so ago, I did spoiling your man. What do you look for when you're dating? If you're dating, I don't know if you're hooked up, single.
Italian, tattoos, nipple piercings.
That's very specific.
Is that for him or for you?
Oh, and he has to be a certain
Liz
height.
Is Italian.
Liz is
hey,
very,
she
very
has, she has
you know what? Liz is
screw
very,
that
very
height
shallow.
Shit.
No,
I'm short.
I can't say height-wise because my...
Your what?
I'm with now
oh.
is only like...
Oh, she can't
taller.
Say boyfriend.
None of you here are in IT, right?
No,
me
no.
a little bit, yeah.
Yeah. So, what are the first three things you check?
Yes.
But, is it plugged in?
Right. Is it? Yep.
Is it turned on?
Turned mm-hmm. on.
Have you rebooted?
Yes.
Have you rebooted?
Yeah.
The CO2 line was off on the kegerator. That's all.
Oh! You know what?
Dave, I got to take, you know what, that's my, we checked. I checked, and I thought everything was fine.
But I don't feel guilty because you had to come up here anyways, I hear.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Hey. Hi, Dave.
That's
hi,
a,
Dave.
That's a boss, man.
Yeah. No.
Yeah, you do a plug for him, IT and a D on Monday nights at 9 p.m. Boy, yes, I got that down pat.
So I want to talk about how Liz would not call her man a boyfriend. Did you see that? She stopped. She said, my, and then she stopped and said, person I'm with.
Well, he might be listening.
He don't listen. I try to get him to.
He's not an undercurrent.
So you don't? Do you not call him your boyfriend? Or?
No, she does.
Okay. Yeah. I was just curious as to why she wouldn't call him.
He is.
Okay.
Maybe she says that, but he doesn't know it yet.
Oh.
No, he knows. You know.
That is not my phone this
time. It's not.
No.
Lord have mercy.
So what?
But no, height's not a big I mean, personally, like, I cannot date someone shorter than me, but
they just
but
don't
I
have
am
to
currently.
Go down. They don't have to go down as far.
No.
True.
He's not shorter than her.
He's an inch taller than me.
Right.
How tall is he?
He's like 5'6", because I'm 5'5".
Sweet.
Yeah.
Perfect
cool,
height.
Yeah.
Perfect
but, like,
height.
He complains because, like, if I wear, like,
me.
Certain shoes that, like, have, like, that much.
Yeah,
on
what's
it,
the big
he's,
deal?
Like, he's like, I don't like you wearing those because
why?
Because you're taller than me. He don't.
So what?
He
doesn't have the confidence level to say
no,
so what?
He's dated people who were taller than him, but.
But he doesn't like it.
He's insecure about being short. That's all.
I'm short and I'm bald. I've been this way for a while and I still got game. Ooh.
Yeah, he just dated
true.
Me. He got it. He got it.
Oh, really?
What? Now, going back, Jimmy, with the.
Yeah.
The online. The online dating, and I get this is it's a lot of affairs I deal with in the office and stuff. And I tell people, usually, probably
you mean affairs as in extramarital affairs?
I'm talking it could be emotional or physical or a combination
of
both. Okay. And I get a lot of them, they start because all of a sudden they start talking to some, you know, they're not getting their needs met, emotional, physical, whatever needs, they don't feel loved, desired, all this stuff. So I tell people all the time, I don't condone, I don't, you know, definitely don't. Encourage affairs by any means, but I look at why they happen.
Right.
And, you know, a lot of them, it's, you know, they're Facebooking, you know, an old girlfriend, they're Facebooking someone from high school, they're on chat, or the proverbial, not proverbial, it's legit, you know, they're on POF, they're
well, that's
on,
what, that's,
online.
That's the dating site that
yep,
I do most
yep,
of my
yep.
dates from,
there's
POF.
Three yep. free ones, and I don't want to plug them too much unless they pay your show or me royalties.
Well, I only talk about POF because that's the majority of my dates I've went on have been from that, so when I talk about my blog.
OKCupid and date hookup.
Well, I don't
they're
like...
free.
Yeah, I know. OKCupid.
But don't you find just crazy ones on the free ones, though? Or
well,
at
no.
At least
actually,
the
no.
majority
no,
of them
no,
are crazy
no,
no,
ones.
No, you find,
ahead,
the crazy, you find the crazy ones
anywhere.
On any pay site, any free site, doesn't matter. Online dating brings the crazy. It's just finding a way of weeding them out.
You don't think there are more though if it's a free site because I don't have to pay for it.
Nope, not at all. Because I actually talked with a woman who had the exact opposite perspective than I did, and she said the exact same thing. She's like, it doesn't matter if it's free or if it's paid. Online dating, you're gonna find the crazy.
Well, I have no doubt that you're gonna have crazies in either one.
But she's like, it doesn't, and that's what she told me. She's like, because I asked her, I'm like, do you think I would be better going to a paid site? She's like, no. She's like, it's equal.
It's
equal. Pay and free. It's equal. The amount of crazy that you get.
Yep. And you got to remember, women, they have 10 personalities, so you just pick the one or two you like the best.
Yeah. Right.
Oh, look at Liz.
It's true. No, he's right.
Go ahead.
Right.
Speak at me. Yell
at me. That's true. That's
okay.
True.
I can take it.
It's not 100% because
Liz only has like 6 personalities. So.
I mean, I'm just saying,
that's
like some guys are
some
just
guys
as
are
bad
what?
As girls.
I agree. There's some whacked out dudes out there.
I'm not denying it.
I'll slam us guys too. But I mean, that didn't sound
there's
right.
There's crazy
I don't roll
on
that
both
way.
Sides of the spectrum.
I'll slam
yes,
those
there
guys.
Are.
Yeah, yeah, no,
I don't roll that way. So.
No, I mean, and that's the thing is like I'm not perfect. I'm not perfect. I've
nobody is,
and there was shut up, Marv.
What?
You're not perfect.
I'm the closest.
No, you're not.
You're
not even remotely.
I mean,
you're not even remotely.
I'm close.
I'm very human, man.
You're perfect to someone out there.
But
exactly.
Well,
see,
exactly.
That's a hallmark.
I may not be perfect.
American greetings
for her.
Maybe.
But like I did a blog post or whatever where I talked about an embarrassing thing that you know, that I did or happened to me while out on a date, you know.
No, so, we all have them.
Right, exactly.
Did you poop a little bit? Is that what happened?
Well, actually, you should really read my blog post.
Did you shart a little bit?
No, I did not.
I didn't even, I got to read this. This is cool.
I have IBS. And
so you did shit a little bit.
Well, so have you ever seen any shat. Have you ever seen any romantic comedy movie from like 1990 to like 2015? It's the same scenario where I'm out on a date, it's going really well.
Where you're Ben Stiller, you have to run into the bathroom.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
But we were
B-U-T-T.
Drunk. We were drunk.
Okay.
And
did she want you to poop on her?
No.
Okay.
Would you let me talk, Marv?
Go for it.
Interjecting?
No, go for it.
Okay.
Some people have fantasies.
But so I asked her. So I asked
her. She now
her,
speaks up.
So I asked her, I'm like, where is your bathroom? She said it's down the hall. So I went to the bathroom.
Whoa. Back up.
Yeah, go ahead.
You were at her place?
Yeah. I met her because where she
lived.
On
the first date.
On the first date.
Damn,
This is what happened. She lived right by a downtown area.
Of course.
So we knew we were going to be drinking that
downtown.
Night. I'm not going to say.
Why
yeah.
not, man?
Well, downtown Royal Oak. Yeah.
You didn't have to. I was just playing with
okay.
you.
But anyway, so she lived in walking distance from Main Street.
Right.
Okay. So we decided that I was going to meet at her house, yeah. and we were going to walk to the bars
oh, wow.
and the cool. restaurants because we knew we were going to be drinking and we didn't want to have to drive
That's
around or
smart.
Whatever.
Yeah.
So
very smart.
So what it, so
And
what,
you end up back at her place.
And we end yeah. up back at her place. But anyways, so we have a good time, you know, dinner, drinks, all that stuff like that. And as we're walking back to her place, my stomach started doing that.
Oh,
you know,
no.
Yeah. No. It hadn't turned to that yet. it just did that
you
rumbling thing, and then the bottom dropped out, and I'm like, oh man!
Literally, the bottom dropped out.
I'm like, I got to get to a bathroom like right now. So I start trying to walk faster.
You never do that, especially at a girl's place the first day.
Well, hold on.
She's got like, perfume gotta, on the counter.
What was he gonna do? Right? Hang ass out the window and let it go? He's kind of crap.
He can't. He's walking. Go ahead, let him speak. No disrespect. Let him talk.
She brought it up. I'm defending you.
Are you done?
I'm defending you,
Mark. Are you done? Liz?
Jesus. Okay.
You guys correct.
So I walked back. I walked back.
Get to the goddamn point,
Jimmy. I'm trying to, but you keep interrupting me. So we walk. I'm trying to walk faster. She's like trying to look at me. I'm done. Story's done.
Jimmy, oh. No.
Marv,
gotta
show a little respect,
man. All right,
go
ahead.
All right.
Go ahead.
So I'm walking back. I'm trying to walk back faster, and she's like, oh, look at the pretty stars and the constellations. I'm like, no, you don't understand. We got to move. So we get back to her place, and she's like all over me, and I'm like, yes. Can I hold it? Am I good? No, I'm not good. I'm like, all right. So I'm like, where's your bathroom? Just really fast. She's like, it's down the hallway. I'm like, okay. So I go down the hallway, and I turn to the bathroom that's on the left. And I go in there, and I'm like, okay, you know, it's going, all right. And I'm like, I should probably do a courtesy flush.
Absolutely.
Nothing happens. I'm like, oh, my God. I'm like, what is going on here?
No.
And I'm like, well, maybe I just didn't press it hard enough. So I'm like trying to, nothing's happening. And I'm like,
dude, I feel
oh,
you,
my
man.
God. I'm like, so what am I going to do? So I finish, and I'm like, what am I going to do? So I like tiptoe out, and she's kind of passed out on her couch. I'm like, thank God. So I quickly go into her kitchen. I'm looking for a bucket so I can put some water in it and flush it down.
Yeah.
Can't find a bucket. I go downstairs. I find a bucket.
This is all on the first date.
This is all on the first date. I find the bucket. I filled up with water. I'm walking back up to her to the bathroom, and I'm trying to tiptoe. And I had my shoes off because I took them off when I got inside. And that little tack strip between the linoleum and the carpet, my sock gets caught on it. I trip forward. The water goes up and over.
This is a YouTube video.
It splashes on the carpet. It splashes on her, who wakes up. And she's like, what are you doing? And I'm like,
wait, she fell asleep?
She passed out on the couch.
Passed out.
We were
drinking.
Drunk.
They
were drunk. So I'm like, I'm like, your toilet isn't working. And I'm like, and she's like, what do you mean it's not working? She's like, it is working. And I'm like, no, I tried to flush it and it's not working. She's like, hold on a second. I'm like, no, don't go in there. She's like, and she walks down the hallway and goes to the right and goes into the bathroom. And I'm like, are you kidding me? There's two bathrooms, one on each side. Yeah, apparently the other one's a spare bathroom that doesn't work because the little tube that comes out of it.
The water supply line.
It's not the water supply line. The pipe that comes down and then up again was broken on the bottom. So you can't even pour water down it because it's just going to come right out again.
No.
So I'm like, what do I? I'm like, I am so sorry. I don't even know what to say right now.
Yeah, I know.
I will get rid of this. I will clean it up. And she's like, okay, well.
And I'll see you like never.
And she's like, I'm going to go lay down in bed. If you want to join me later, you can. She's like, I'm just really tired and I don't want to have to deal with this right now. And I'm like, okay, I'll take care of it. And then I spent a couple hours like trying to clean it up and I got all fine. And then I debated. I'm like, should I go in? Should I not? I'm like, you know what? I'm just too embarrassed.
Yeah,
I can't deal with this. I can't deal with the conversation in the morning. So I just left.
Yeah.
And I'm like, and I texted her. I said, you know, I'm so sorry what happened. I greatly apologize. If you want to go out on another date, text me or call me or whatever. And I never heard from her again.
Bro.
Yep. But yeah, so like things like that happen to me.
Do you know
can I talk now?
Do you know how many people have heard this story now?
Say what again?
Like six.
Yeah. I don't know how many people.
So two questions.
Read my blog. Yeah.
Two questions.
Yeah.
Why didn't you like duck into a place on the walk and crap in a public bathroom?
Because by the time the IBS hit me, we were already in the residential area.
Right. Everybody poops, Jimmy.
Everybody poops.
I know.
Second, when you came out and saw that she was passed out,
yeah.
Why didn't you just leave?
I'm not going to do that.
She would think she did it.
No.
She was passed out.
No,
she
no,
would go in there and be like, oh, my God, I crapped in the wrong bathroom.
No,
yeah.
What
is
that?
No, you leave a – listen, you leave a note. You leave a note that says, hey, had a great time. Hope you're okay.
Wait, hold on. I'm going to put a spin on this.
But I got to go. And you leave that note and you get out of there.
Let Brad put a spin on this.
I'm going to put a spin on this, right? Jimmy is faulting his performance in the toilet there as costing him. But really, if we go back, she invited him back to the bed.
Correct.
So he didn't hear from her because she felt rejected. I mean, you left, dude.
Brad's right.
And you know what?
Brad's right.
And in hindsight, that had occurred to me. But at the time,
you know
it
what?
Was
I
like,
would have booked too.
I
would have booked.
I was so embarrassed. I'm like, I just can't deal with this.
Everyone does it though. If someone did that to me, like, I don't know.
Would you find that as a turn on?
A dude left a big old
turn on. I mean, it's not a turn on, but it's almost like
it's not a turn on.
Breaking the barrier. I like to use that a lot.
Not understand.
The barrier, that's how I do it.
Do you not understand what IBS is?
Yeah, I know what it is.
Do you know what happens when you have IBS?
He's shit lava. He's shit lava.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's not fun.
It wasn't a cute little, like, a bunch of nuggets.
But
all
the
right?
fact that the shoes, next, like, I mean, next if time you want to join me back in the bed after you've done that,
This is how
that. That might have been the one. That might have been the one.
At the time. Well, no. No, here's the thing. So people have said, well, why don't you contact her again? I did a couple months later. I just wanted to say,
whoa, dude, a couple months?
Waited,
no. A couple months later, I just said, hey, you know, I just wanted to see how you're doing. Again, I wanted to apologize for what happened
for a
or
shitty
whatever.
Date.
Yeah, well, basically.
I said,
I said, for our shitty date, no pun intended.
Yes.
She said, you know what? She's like, I thought it was amusing, blah, blah, blah. And that's when she told me, she's like, she goes, the reason I never contacted you again is because I felt rejected because you didn't come to bed with me afterwards. And I said, I just was so embarrassed.
She was embarrassed. You both were.
And exactly. And I said, I wish I had known that. And hindsight's 2020. But
so
she
why
was,
didn't it come together then?
But she was dating somebody at the time when I contacted her again. Yeah.
Okay. I have another logistics question.
Yeah, go ahead.
If the toilet was broken, didn't you notice there was no water in it when you sat down?
Why were there two bathrooms? That's what I don't understand.
Main bathroom, a bath and a half. That is accessed from the master bedroom and then a spare bathroom for like guests and stuff like that.
Bath and a half or two.
Did you not notice there was no water?
At the time,
It was
had
such,
to go for it.
At the time,
no.
It was
when
such,
you have IBS, man.
I understand.
Yeah.
I was just curious.
At the time, no, I did not notice it. It just was kind of like I was so afraid I wasn't going to make it that I didn't even pay attention. It was like literally flip up and pants come down as I'm sitting down.
Yeah. Let's get back to why Jimmy's IBS is a turn-on to Liz, though.
It's not a turn-on. I'm just saying it's like...
It's like when you, on a first date, you fart, everybody does it.
That's what I was going to say. We were talking about that a little bit.
Talking about the dating aspect, when I bring this up, how many people... You know, on the first date, do you just puke out all your bad shit?
I'm going to tell you right now.
How many people, this is me.
I'm the first one to break the barrier in front of my boyfriend.
Are you really?
You did what?
I was the first.
What was the barrier you broke? You
farted everywhere.
Now, was it a poo fart or was it from the back end or front end?
He's getting specific.
Was it back end?
Can you diagram it on a piece of paper where you were located?
Yeah, you got that piece of paper going back and forth.
And describe it. Was it like a little... Or was it like a?
Yep.
It was a like it was a straight up like bar and burger fart.
Did you lift your cheek up?
Did you give him one of those? You're like,
it didn't smell. It didn't smell like roses either, did it?
Look how embarrassed she's getting.
I wish we had video right now.
You're the one who said
I wish we had video right now.
She is getting so red right now.
Did you like slap?
You are. You're like fanning yourself.
Did you slap him? Were you like, get a load of that? There's egg in there.
Hey, can you out? Hey, I bet you can't beat that one.
It would have been so
God.
Hey, like, how about a rim job after that?
Oh, yeah.
It's more funnier if you guys were there.
What?
Oh,
it would have
God.
Been funnier if you guys were there. I can't really, like...
It's funny now, yeah.
It's pretty hilarious. Funny now.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh,
so you really cut loose with it.
Do you want
to? Did you, like, push it out or were you trying to hold it back?
I do it all the time. I don't care.
So you like you were like
I'm not gonna hold anything back. Obviously, if I'm gonna do it later, I might do it now.
Never hold in a fart. A fart will turn to shit. It can also make your breath stink.
Also hurt your stomach some.
Yeah. So
no, think about how many first dates are you out on and you just feel gassy because you're so nervous and you
hold
it.
I didn't do it. I just leave and get in your car and you're just like, oh my God.
That is when you excuse yourself to the bathroom and go in there.
Nope.
Yep.
Oh no. Hell no. I'm a girl and I don't know. No,
nope.
I don't do that.
I won't do it out in public.
You
don't know when you have to fart?
No, I mean, I do, but I'm just saying I wouldn't do it out in public, but when I leave, yes. Like, I respect enough not do it in public, but, like, when we get back to his house, I can't.
Well, when you're in the bathroom.
I give mad respect to a girl who will cut loose, right? Like, first date.
And it was like
right
I will marry your ass.
Absolutely. Like, and
if you're hot.
And you like a cheek up, too.
It was, like, the third day after hanging out.
That's why Liz needs a tall guy. The air down there is not so good.
Yeah. Hey, when you go down there, just plug your nose.
Yeah. Yeah. They got to be tall.
No, but there's a flaw in your logic. Hot air rises, dude.
No, what I said. You got to plug them nostrils.
I love that you cut loose on him. That's excellent.
Like, it was seriously like the third day of hanging out.
That's awesome.
Too. He's like, did you really just do that? Yeah, I really just did that.
Yeah, that's just me. Take it or leave it, right? Yeah.
We're going to go to our last music break, and then we're going to come back, finish up, and get into some relationship questions.
Awesome.
You're still together.
And we're together, so hey.
All right, we'll be back in a few minutes.
Let's move and get it on.
This is a previously recorded episode of The Undercard, Hand Combat Radio.
Welcome back to The Undercard, everybody. We are joined by...
Are we back?
I want to call you Greg, but
Greg, okay. Man. You're fine.
But introduce yourself, your last name.
Hi, I'm Greg Dzinski, licensed professional counselor in Detroit, relationship and sex specialist.
And an author. We talked about it a little earlier, but if you're catching the end, you got
Thank
a book
you.
Out.
Yeah, I actually just had a book come out for sale, later part of last week. It's called Seize, That Total Connection, Achieving the Emotional and sexual relationship crave.
And I'm going to tell you that you were asking about your price points. I think your price points were really well.
Oh, you got that on Facebook. Yeah. You saw. Oh,
it's amazing.
I got a
social media where
we did research.
Thank you. No, thank you so much.
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
I referenced a picture for you to look at.
Yes, you did, Brian.
Which is Dana White and Ronda Rousey landing in Australia to promote her fight.
Correct.
First off, what angers me more than anything is that Dana White's wearing Nike. His people can't wear anything other than Reebok, but he's wearing Nike.
Right.
Second off, not knowing who they are.
Correct.
Is there chemistry in that picture?
Is there chemistry in that picture? No.
No? You think it's fake chemistry?
Do I think it's fake chemistry? Yeah, there's not the chemistry. There's the friend sort of buddy chemistry, but that's it.
Okay.
Yeah. I could be wrong. But
I read it differently.
Yeah.
I could be wrong.
You're probably right.
Yo, you're right. You're right. I think you're right.
They're not a couple.
Yeah, they're not a couple.
Right.
But you're right.
Yeah, he's right.
I don't know if it's right or wrong, but that's
just
what
fun
I
to throw
picture.
It. Oh, hell in front of you.
You can see so many people. You think there's chemistry, and you know there really isn't. I see so many couples in the office. They come in, Greg. You know what? You know our friends, family, neighbors, our kids' friends, whatever. They think we have the best marriage. You know, we have the model marriage, and they're sitting in my office. I'm like. You know, so looks can be very deceiving. You don't know what happens, you know, 24/7 behind someone else's
doors. We think
about
that a lot with Facebook because we're always talking about how people are like,
oh my gosh,
my husband's so awesome, my wife's so awesome. But then, you know, you really have no clue.
Are they just trying to get sex? Ooh.
No, I think they're trying to, a lot of times they're putting on fronts for the rest of the Facebook.
They're putting on persona saying I'm all this, I'm this great.
Or, you know, our relationship, our you know, everything is perfect and.
Do you think that's what they want, though? I agree. Do you think if they put it out there like that it is false and it's the opposite?
Sometimes.
I agree. I don't think always it is.
Yeah, but sometimes.
But there's,
Now, your book seems by the title alone, it's a monogamous book, right? So you're working on relationships that are in a closed relationship or you
that
deal
is
with open?
I have a lot of I got some cool stories. I have a lot of clients that are in. You know, they're married, they're in open marriages, open relationships, they're swingers in the lifestyle, S&M, B&D, they're polytriads, and of course heterosexual.
Whoa. I don't know what a polytriad is.
What is a polytriad?
Usually we...
it sounds like a geometry term.
It's like a threesome.
A guy with a wife and a girlfriend.
Correct.
Oh, okay.
Or a guy with a wife and she has the girlfriend is the most common situation.
Okay, but so it's...
But there's also, I've been, you know, where there it's rarer, but there's two guys and the wife.
Okay.
That's rarer, but the most of the poly... So I got some cool stuff. I got some cool stories.
So dealing with open relationships and closed relationships, two different clients. Really?
Absolutely.
What do you learn differently from an open relationship than the people that come there that are looking for help with a closed relationship?
It's all about boundaries, and you have to look at, you know, what are boundaries? If you're in an open relationship or open marriage, you're looking at, okay, if we go out, do we even tell that we have sex with somebody else? You know, of course, you have safeguards, condoms, you know, protection, all those aspects have to be in place. And then you look at, you know, do we tell if we have sex with somebody else, make out with somebody, do we have full disclosure or would you rather not? So every situation is different. Every couple in that situation, even with swingers, you know, the boundaries are important. And usually, you know, I get couples say swingers coming in, Greg, we have trust issues. And I'm like, oh, no shit. You know, everyone laughs with her. But it's not the physical. It's the emotion where one's getting more emotionally connected to somebody else. And they can separate, for the most part, they separate the sex, the physical pleasures from the emotional connection. Like if you want to say the ancient Greeks and Romans, they would separate, you know, the flesh, the body should be for pleasure, and the heart is, you know, where the home is type of aspect.
Just going back to my schooling, too, with open relationships, basically, normally one gets jealous because somebody else is very successful at the open relationship and the other person is not as successful.
I have about four couples right now that are in that situation where, you know, the woman's going out and she wants another woman and the husband has very little game.
Why do you think people want to share?
I think it's
like I would never.
It's not for me. And I
like,
tell people I'm very I'm very, very one on one. You know, I'm not. Everyone assumes, you know, whatever. And I tell people I got offered five to seven threesomes before, and I've turned them all down. And I'm like, oh, you dumb shit. Now I look back. No, I'm serious. Because I'm more one-on-one, okay? If I look at that, they look at variety, they look at boredom, they look at, you know, I can't meet your every need. It might be physically, sexually, whatever. So why should I deprive you of that happiness? And they're both – it's like rejuvenation. It's about energize and about maybe spontaneity. It's all that liveliness rolled up, and it becomes an addiction. The problem comes in where you have a lot of people. One person wants to get out of that lifestyle, and the other one doesn't.
See, threesome Greg and would have to dress in different clothes, though, and drive a different car anyways.
Oh, shit, yeah. Oh, my God. I'd be in trouble. Yeah, in that back seat with the advertising on the back. Oh, shit. I'd be in trouble.
But you're like, it's a client. We're,
it's like,
I worked my ass off
for my license. I don't want to, yeah.
It's a study. We're doing field research.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, I'm trying to help her sort of come five times instead of four.
Yeah. I really think that'll get her over that hump.
Oh, yes, it will.
Get it?
Well, I didn't want to cut you out. You can finish. I was just thinking once you go in that threesome, you're dressing different.
Yeah, you're in a different ball game. So you need to you got to set boundaries for yourself. And I'm not, like I said, you know, swingers, and everybody's heard, you know, Master Bob and all that, his S&M dungeon and all this stuff that he killed his wife. But you look at the situation where you have to have healthy boundaries that work for you. And you know, society, everyone else says you need to do this, you need to do that. No, everybody's different, and if it works for you and you're both happy with it, cool. Who am I to say it's wrong, right? No, it's about what works for you and how can I help you get there.
I got offered to be in a threesome once. It turns out they just wanted me to lubricate and work the camera. So
sweet.
Somebody's got to be the fluffer.
I was still there.
Hey, the fluffer. She was just talking about farting.
No, she's the pooter.
The pooter, not the fluffer.
I will save that just so I can do it right in front of him.
Yeah. Sweet. I've heard that actually. I've heard if the lady farts while dude is in her, it creates a really interesting sensation.
You know what? I can tell you a story where frickin' this was years ago. I heard friends. They were married, and he was down on her. Orally pleasing her.
Oh no.
And she when she came, she let out a little turd. For real. Boy, you guys got quiet real. Hey, Brad, why are you wiping your face, Brad? Can you imagine that?
I just imagine.
Oh, did you say, hon, no problem, I'll clean that up for you?
No, that you calling Jimmy for that.
Yeah, I know, he's a medic. He's used to cleaning
up. Well, no, he has experience cleaning poop up.
Yes, he does. But this is a true story,
guys. Oh, my God,
guys.
She fired off a nugget.
Yes, this is a true freaking story.
I don't know. That might be.
And it wasn't me. No, it was not me.
That might be game. What happens?
Has that ever happened to you, ladies?
Never.
You go down there and there's freaking dingleberries hanging.
No. That's why you send in the scout.
Yes. But you might not. You might miss that feeling.
No, I've been.
Oh, boy. Come on, spit it out.
Yeah. There's been a moment where he was relaxed and I wasn't doing that, but.
You weren't, what, licking his vagina?
No.
You were in his vagina?
No, God. Never mind.
So what happened? Tell us the story. Go ahead. I'm sorry. How rude and unprofessional.
He tooted.
Oh, he tooted while you were...
Yeah, that could happen. I think every guy wants to do that.
When you're grinding, and tightening up, and you know, you got those ab flexes, whatever, and you just, sneak one
out. I wish he would do that to me, because so I'll be...
Why, he's on top of you? Oh,
you want?
Well,
you want?
You know what? Hold on. I gotta ask this.
You are a little freak. I love it.
You know what? So let me guess. Are you? This would be the ultimate, right? You both orgasm and fart at the same time together, right?
While 69ing,
that would be your ultimate.
No, we don't do it together. 69? But I'm just saying. I feel like every guy wants to like do that when their girl's on him. I'm just saying. If that ever happened,
wants
to me,
fart.
Wants to fart.
Yeah.
No.
I heard it. I hear it a lot.
You are a freak.
I can't wait for the letterhead with X-Lax on it.
Like
although we do not want
to
sponsor
the
undercard.
Fart when he's inside you?
No. Yeah. No.
You are difference between a boy and a man or a woman and a girl, right?
I don't ever want to fart while
no.
We're coming up pretty shortly. Greg,
I apologize.
No. Greg, if somebody wants to use you to help the relationship, how do they get a hold of you? Talk about your Facebook page.
Yeah, I think they can look me up on Facebook. And that's my website is theartofrelationships.org. And you can also give me a call at 313-614-9498. And like I said, you can. There's links on Facebook as well. And like I said, I do this. It's a passion of mine to help, you know, help everybody out. I'm very down to earth, very real. People can see me, you know, doing on the show like I am now, out in the store. I'm no different. I'm very compassionate. I'm a smart ass, but I'm also very compassionate and heartfelt.
You have a podcast as well, so can they get the podcast on your website?
Yes, they
can,
absolutely.
And then when is your live show?
The live show is Sunday night, 9 p.m. right here from PodcastDetroit.com studios.
Awesome. So I have to think the best part about your job is you can write off porn on your taxes.
Yeah.
And it is legitimately
Brad,
research.
Thank you. You know, thank you for that tax. But yeah, I never even thought about
that.
Yeah,
that's research.
Shit.
That's
but research. Most porn, you know, if you use RedTube, it's free. So shit.
It's true. Yeah, I haven't paid for porn in years.
That's true.
No.
But we want to thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah.
Thank you.
We learned a lot about Liz.
We sure
know.
Did.
Thank
wow,
you,
Liz,
for thank
myself
you.
Out there.
I like yeah, you're out there now.
I appreciate you guys.
That's Liz's mating call from now on.
No, the undercard, I appreciate you guys having me, man. It was
no, we love that.
Awesome.
It was a good hour.
I appreciate
man.
It, man.
It was great, and we'll have you back soon.
We'll come,
and,
we'll come invade you. Your show one day.
You know what? More than happy, please.
Sweet.
Sunday nights at 9. I'd love to have you guys on there if you guys aren't drunk or having massive flatulent sex.
Yeah. Well, just Liz. That would be Liz. Would be
I know.
Yeah.
Liz probably gave you two topics for a show right there.
Oh, my God. Hell yes.
But I want to thank everybody involved in the show. We'll be back next Tuesday. So everybody, take care.
This is a previously recorded episode of The Undercard, Hand Combat Radio. This show is broadcasting live from Detroit Sound Studios above Activate Gaming and is part of the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.